This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, Your Attitude Can Make a Difference.
Your attitude can make a difference. Your attitude can make a difference. You know, someone once wrote this, and it always touched me when I read it. Here's what someone wrote. Two men looked out from prison bars. One saw mud. The other saw stars. Where's your perspective? What are you looking at? Are you looking for the one flaw? Are you looking for the person's flaw? Are you looking for a fault? Are you looking for a past grievance? What are you looking for? Proverbs 15:13 says, a merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow, the heart, the spirit is broken. There is a difference in your perspective. There is a difference in how you look at things. Where are you focused? The word for countenance there in that verse is the word punim. And that word means the face coming from inside. You see, what's inside you and me eventually is going to come out. There's an interesting piece of research that says this. 200,000 frowns equal a permanent brow line. If you frown often enough, your face will eventually freeze into that frown. You get the face you deserve. Psalm 23, verse 7 says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. What's going on in here? Your mindset, your attitude determines how you view relationships, how you view the Lord, how you view life, how you see yourself. Attitudes can make the difference between joy and despair, success and failure, hope or anxiety. It's up to you. With God's help, it's up to you. Circumstances don't determine attitude. Attitude determines how we navigate circumstances. Maybe the circumstance can't change, and the only thing left that can change is your attitude about it. Maybe the circumstance and the situation is so dire and so desperate, you can't see a way to get through it. But if you have the right attitude, God can help you to get through it. If you're looking for God to sustain you, if you're looking for God to carry you, if you're anticipating that God's going to help you get through, if you're believing that God is going to help you get through this most difficult of circumstances, guess what? You're going to get through it. There's two ways to do that, with a spirit of pessimism or a spirit of godly optimism. Not something you conjure up inside of you, but that which comes from leaning on the promises of God. That wonderful hymn, I am leaning on the promises of God, because there are times in your life and in my life when that's all we can do. And sometimes it feels like that's exactly where God wanted. Somebody said, a happy person is not a person with a certain set of circumstances, but rather a person with a certain set of attitudes. It's not your circumstance that makes you happy. It's your attitude that makes you happy. There's a lot of disappointment in life. There's an awful lot to be discouraged about in life. There's an awful lot that can easily take us off our perch of perpetual smiles and perpetual external happiness and can drag us right down into the pit. So the question is, what's the bedrock attitude that supports the structure of who you are through good times and bad times? It's your attitude. As a believer in Jesus Christ, you have within you the potential for a new set of attitudes. Think about Ephesians 4, 22 and 23. It says that you put off concerning the former conversation. That's a word that means your behavior, how you used to see things, how you used to do things. That old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed. God wants to give you a mindset makeover. How many TV programs are about makeover? They're going to make over your bathroom. They're going to make over your kitchen. They're going to make over your house. They're going to make over your wardrobe. They're going to make over your face. What about your attitude? Who wants to be in the business of making over attitudes? It's what the Bible says, a renewed mind, a makeover. He wants to replace that old spirit of stinking thinking with a new spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, and hope that can only be found in one place. It can only be found in Jesus Christ, because all other efforts are being made from the outside in. This effort on the part of the Holy Spirit starts in and works out. You've already got these things inside of you by virtue of the fact that one day you came to know Christ as your Savior. You asked Him to come into your heart. His Holy Spirit came and entered your body as you requested Him to do, and as He promised to do. And the Bible said He came with gifts and He came with fruit. And the fruit of the Holy Spirit is all of those things: love, joy, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, and hope. It's in here. Will you release it? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this: therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. For the believer, all things have become new. All things. Not some things. It takes a lifelong process, to be sure, but change is part of what it means to be a believer. It's just the normal process. It's not because you're trying to be good or trying to be different. It's because living inside of you, there is a new entity. The new birth ushered in the Holy Spirit. Now He's in here. Before you receive Christ as Lord and Savior, you didn't have God's Holy Spirit in you. Now that He's in there, He wants to readjust the furniture. He wants to readjust the mindset. He wants to readjust the priorities and the attitudes. And the question is this: are you willing to let Him? This is where that word in Scripture comes into play. Submit yourself. You have to allow Him to do these things. You can't resist Him. You resist the devil, but you allow the Holy Spirit to do His business. So here's a short list of the kinds of things that have become new. We have a new role model to follow, a new role model. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We're looking to Jesus to be our role model, not Dr. Oz, not Judge Judy. For sure, not Judge Judy. Please.
Shut up. I told you not to say anything in my court.
No, not Judge Judy. We're looking to Jesus. What do we see in Him? You know, our summer series is going to be on comparative religion. We're going to look at Islam. We're going to look at Buddhism and Hinduism, all of these things over the weeks ahead. And we're going to compare them to biblical faith. Compare and contrast. That's what we're going to be doing. If you look at some of the founders of these various religions, you know, and you compare them, their character to the character of Jesus Christ, you know what you're going to find? There is no comparison between the two. The perfect person is Christ. The perfect man is Jesus. When you look to Him as a role model, you will not be disappointed. When you look to His word, you will find hope. You will find help. A new role model, Jesus, not somebody, not some new guru, not following in the footsteps of a man, not believing someone and wanting to emulate someone, believing in Christ, wanting to emulate Christ, wanting to walk in His footsteps. And secondly, we have a new mission. 1 Peter 3:15 says, to be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you. I'm reiterating something I said earlier. Are you in a position now, in the journey you've been on so far in your faith walk, are you at a place now that you're able to give an answer to people about the questions they have about your faith? If you're not at that point, you need to be studying God's word. You need to go through a systematic understanding of what it is you believe and why you believe it. And that's why we are a church that's talking about discipling. There aren't a lot of churches talking about discipling people. But we want to be sure that you're able to step up to your new mission. We want to equip you to be prepared to do your new mission. And so we've put together an 18-week mentoring program, one-to-one, an 18-week mentoring ministry that you can get together with somebody and grow in these things so you can give an answer to somebody. And that'll make you feel more confident. Third, we have a new hope and a new home. Think about that. A new hope and a new destination in the afterlife. John 14, 2 and 3. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you onto my sight, myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Does anybody here want to live forever? Say, I do. You can do this. You know, that piece of granite over that dirt that occupies your empty shell of a body. You ain't in there no more. You're home with the Lord. And one day that body in that box is going to be regenerated by God and brought into connection with that soul that's already up there. And the two of them are going to come together into a new and glorious body. Are you ready for that? Do you hunger for that? Something new. Prior to your salvation, you didn't know where you were going. Even though we might have known, based on the word, where you were going without Christ. Now you can know that you've got a forwarding address and it's home in heaven. We have a new heart. Ezekiel 36:26, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Hard-heartedness. We have learned to become very, very cynical. We listen to our politicians, and the truth has come to us that we can't believe a word, or we don't believe a word, or we won't believe a word they say. And it's getting to the point where it's beginning to spread in our mindset that we don't have that same optimism that America's always had. So few people these days are optimistic about the future of this country. What a sad thing. And we've become kind of cynical, and we've become kind of hardened, and we think it's only in our society and only in our culture. But guess what? It spreads to each and every individual in the society. We don't have that tender, sensitive heart. We've come to the place where we can't give anybody any slack for the flaws and the shortcomings in their person. It comes to the point that if you're not exactly online with the way the other person thinks, well, we're not so sure you should be around anymore. The Bible says that God wants to give the believer a new heart, more sensitivity, more caring, more gentleness, more kindness. Put them all together, and we can sing with the hymn writer. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Something has changed. Have you experienced a change? Has your priorities begun to change? You know, before you were a believer in Jesus Christ, before you started getting serious about this, you couldn't find 5 minutes for church. You didn't have any time for the things of the Lord. Hymns, they didn't mean anything to you. They were just draggy things, praise songs, getting together with brothers and sisters in Christ. You had no time for that, no priority for that. It was on the bottom of the list. But when the Holy Spirit comes in, the priorities change. The heart's desire change. Think of this transforming, life-changing attitude, adjusting truth. If you have Christ in your heart, if you invited him into your heart and your life, that truth changes everything. That alone changes everything. God is no longer the God away out there. Because of Christ, you now have a personal, intimate, and living relationship with God. You're no longer alone in the universe. God is holding you in the palm of his hand, never to let you go. Take a look at Psalm 139, verses 7 to 12. I know you're reading that already. Psalm 139, 7 to 12. Where shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hides not from thee, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. What is the important attitude of the believer's heart? Knowing the deepest recesses, knowing that in the deepest recesses of your mind, there is nothing that you face in this life that you will face alone. Ever had to go for an operation? Ever been told bad news by a doctor? Ever been told that what you have is serious and you're going to need to be operated, you're going to have surgery, you're going to have chemo, you're going to have some kind of therapy? How'd you feel? Did you realize that when you went into that surgeon's office, you were not alone when you got the bad news? Did you realize as you went forward and you prepared for the chemotherapy and all the other tests that you were not alone? Did you realize as you lay on that surgical table and as you passed from consciousness into the twilight zone that you weren't alone and abandoned inside that twilight zone, that God was with you? Did you realize as you healed and as you came out of it that God was standing beside you all the time? There are times in our life when we do feel alone, times of unemployment, times of no surety in our employment, times of difficult situations at school, times when relationships are broken, bent, fragile, and leaning in the wrong direction. We think we're alone, but we're not. When circumstances flood your life that have the potential to bring you under and keep you under, God will hold your head above water. He won't let you go under. Christ can bring courage under fire and shelter in the time of a storm. Psalm 37:24 says this, though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Now, I don't change the Bible, but you know, I think it might not be a bad thing for you to write your name in those blanks. Something to the effect, though I fall, I shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds Bob with his hand. What a great verse for you to have in your hand. When you realize that you think that you are not going to be able to adjust to the situation, that you're not going to be able to survive the situation, if you only knew that you will not fall, you will not utterly be cast down, for the Lord will uphold you with his hand. What a wonderful promise, and it's yours. Our new attitude then becomes knowing and having confidence that we have all we need of God's grace to get through today. Claim the promise, bank on it, and when the time comes, make a promise withdrawal. You know, these promises are like things going into the bank. You could have $1 million in the bank and never fill out a withdrawal form and never take any money out of it. You have 1 million promises in your spiritual bank. Put a withdrawal form together. Start drawing on the promises. Start feeling the riches of your faith. Live like you're a millionaire in a spiritual sense. Live like you're a child of the king of the universe, because you are all of those things. Hope will prevail when there seems to be no hope. A very touching story to me is written by Karen Garrison, who writes this. Soon after the birth of our first child, Scotty, Scott and Janice were told by their doctor that little Scotty had a very serious heart problem. rallying behind the young family our church supported and reminded them of God's promise never to fail or forsake children, his children. 9 months passed and Scotty's doctors determined that he needed open heart surgery. His chances of surviving the operation were slim, but without it, his chances of living past his first birthday were slimmer. Throughout his ordeal, one thing had become amazingly clear about Scotty. He absolutely loved the color yellow. Whenever he'd catch a glimpse of the bright hue anywhere, he'd squeal in delight. Even his nurses added a touch of yellow to the uniforms when they were caring for him. Sadly, Scotty's operation wasn't a success, and the attempt to save his little heart failed. His parents, grief-stricken, escaped to a friend's vacation home soon after the funeral. Weeks passed, but the gaping wound left by Scotty's absence remained unbearable. One evening at sunset, Scotty's parents walked along the beach. As they clutched each other's hand, they felt the dark realization that Scotty's tiny fingers would never again be clasped between theirs. Too heavy a cross to bear, they felt alone in their grief, and they prayed there on the beach for a glimmer of hope to dispel the darkness. And then, along the water's edge, it appeared. A bright yellow bird landed between them as they walked. Neither had ever seen such a bird before. It didn't scurry or fly away. It continued to scamper between them on their barefooted journey in the sand. The bird's comforting presence filled them with peace, the peace granted to believers in 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 14. Quote, "But I would not have you be ignorant, brothers, concerning those that have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as those who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus." End quote. After they'd made it back to the beachfront home, the bird remained seemingly studying them for a few moments, then lifting its wings and heading upward towards the sky. While watching its graceful flight, they imagined Scotty in the presence of God, soaring high above the clouds and making his way to that incredible yellow ball of a warm kiss upon his chubby cheek. Hope had come to them, a yellow bird messenger fashioned by the Creator's own hands. The Bible tells us that Christ will enable us to endure hardship. He will give us grace under fire, which is the definition of courage. The Christian's most prominent attitude is gratitude. The hardest arithmetic to master is the one which enables us to count our blessings. What an attitude adjustment it would be if we were grateful for what we have, not moaning about what we don't have. What an attitude adjustment it would be if we could learn the lesson of 1 Timothy 6:6 and 7. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we carry nothing out. Let's look at those words this way. Ask yourself, how am I going to face today? And what will my attitude be? Today, I can complain because the weather is rainy, or I can be thankful that the grass is getting watered for free. Today, I can feel sad that I don't have more money, or I can be glad that my finances encourage me to plan my purchases wisely and guide me away from waste. Today, I can grumble about my health, or I can rejoice that I'm alive. Today, I can lament over all that my parents didn't give me when I was growing up, or I can feel grateful that they allowed me to be born. Today, I can cry because roses have thorns, or I can celebrate because thorns have roses. Today, I can mourn my lack of friends, or I can excitedly embark upon a quest to discover new relationships. Today, I can whine because I have to go to work, or I can shout for joy because I have a job. Today, I can complain because I have to go to school, or eagerly open my mind and fill it with new rich bits of knowledge. Today, I can murmur dejectedly because I have to do housework, or I can feel honored because the Lord has provided shelter for my mind, body, and soul. Today stretches ahead of me, waiting to be shaped. And here I am, the sculptor who gets to do the shaping. what today will be, what today will be, is up to me. I get to choose what kind of a day I have. Your attitude can make you sick or can contribute to your health. A renewed attitude, a positive attitude, a hopeful attitude, a happy attitude, an attitude of gratefulness, a godly attitude is healthy for your soul, good for your heart, good for your mind, and good for your face. Less makeup. What do you think? As a little song says, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. The truth is, your attitude can make a difference. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege that we have to be in Jesus Christ, and that our attitudes and our thinking is founded on him, that we can stand on him, that we can stand on his promises, that we can stand on your word. And if our attitudes can't be shaped in a positive way by those truths, then there's really very little hope for us. So we pray that we will allow your Holy Spirit to do his work in our heart and in our mind, in our understanding and in our priorities and in our attitude. And we'll give you all the praise and glory through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.
Don't forget, summer hours begin Sunday, June 29th. Sunday school, 9 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. Worship service, 9:45 a.m. Summer hours will continue through Labor Day weekend, and regular hours will resume Sunday, September 7th.